did these reforms are ambitious in aim and very extensive in scope. And I believe your
government, your first deputy minister of innovation, then deputy minister of education, and now you're head of the capital markets development agency. So in your time, you've done a remarkable amount in the government. Tell us, why did you give up your great career in the West to go back and be part of the government of Uzbekistan?
If I have to give you a very brief and short answer, I think it would be that ever since my family left Uzbekistan, I always dreamed of going back to Uzbekistan. And when the opportunity like this came about, and we saw the amount of energy that was coming from Tashkent, the reform agenda that the president was putting forward, I think it would be a shame not to take the opportunity and take the chance.
We have done sort of quick back-of-the-envelope analysis of how much potential capital available for investors in Uzbekistan. And I think that figure ranges between $10 to $30 billion that is in Uzbekistan, outside of the banking system, which means at home, in dollars, possibly. And that money needs to find a way to work. Yeah?
Hi, we have Atabek Nazirov with us. He's the director of the Capital Markets Development Agency of Uzbekistan. It's a brand new government entity focusing on creating something quite new for the country, something that has never existed before. Although, you have recently said that there have been things sort of evolving, right? Yes. And you have that. But what should we imagine now when we hear about the capital markets in Uzbekistan?
Well, first you need to think of the bells on the New York Stock Exchange.
Wow.
When they, before the stock market opening, and then the trade starts, the equities, the people buy and sell. It's a market.
So that's
where people exchange the ownership of assets.
So that's your vision.
That's the vision.
That's exactly what you want to see happening in Uzbekistan.
I have a little sign of the Wall Street in my office to remind me where we want to be, aiming for.
So there are various models and obviously global experience about how to build such markets and how to run them. Mm-hmm. You just told the American audience here that you think that the American model is the ideal and that's what you want to replicate. It's going to be very difficult.
Absolutely.
What's the timeline like? What do you want to see next year, a year after?
Well, right now we're building a foundation in Bahor. It's important for us to make the diagnostic, identify all key problems, and do kind of screening of the current situation in the system. So I could say probably we're almost done with that process. We know the problems of the industry, we know how and where we need to fix, and the main goal is now to ensure that everybody takes a little deep breath, pause, and we start implementing these reforms and necessary changes of laws in a systematic and gradual way. Time-wise, if we can complete our strategy development program by end of the year, it will be a great story. And then we can start building little puzzles, like increasing the participation from local investors, introducing new financial products in the market, working on IPOs and privatization of state-owned enterprises, engaging professional industry like intermediaries, broker-dealers in Uzbekistan. That takes time too, because we need to grow talent locally, or what we're doing at the moment, importing from abroad, repatriates that coming back to Uzbekistan. That's why we're here in Washington.
Assuming that these people who are returning know what these things are,
exactly.
Right?
That's why I want to bring specialists. Yeah. I want to bring in people that know what they're doing.
So it has to be a mix
of
things, obviously. You are also dealing with a very primitive environment when it comes to banking, when it comes to, monetary systems, when it comes to even, I would say, the private sector. The private sector is quite opaque.
I wouldn't call it primitive, Navajo. Oh. I wouldn't call it primitive. I would call it probably something. We have a different model that evolved from the Soviet past and never had a chance to restructure fully. We're now facing a win of capitalism around the world as a model for economic development. Socialism is no longer...
So you have to understand what capitalism is, though, right? You have to be...
It's a property rights. You know, it's a private capital. It's allowing entrepreneurship to flourish, reducing state involvement in economic affairs. You know, making sure that there is clear separation between, let's say, the ownership of assets and regulation of the activities. And all that requires a lot of work.
And trust in the system. Trust in the banking system, for example.
Well, banking system is one anchor. We compete with banking system.
Mm-hmm.
Capital markets need to be an additional anchor
mm-hmm.
of
parallel,
the financial
sort of.
Infrastructure through which you can finance economic activity. So the banking sector itself, you know, already has done a good job in Uzbekistan in terms of providing capital, but it in itself, unfortunately, dominated by state players, large state banks. So we can use this opportunity now to bring in capital market infrastructure as an alternative sourcing of financing for companies, small businesses, and large corporations.
When I think of capital markets, and of course I'm not an expert, I think of long-term investors.
Absolutely.
I think of committed people who want to be...
You're absolutely right.
Who want to be in that environment.
Sounds like you've been involved in capital markets.
Oh.
You're talking like experts.
But... we don't really see major players. I don't at least hear from the Uzbek businessmen that they understand or they are interested in getting into that market.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the players now that you want to engage?
Mm-hmm.
Investors, domestic investors, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But then also there are several state players, right, mm-hmm. who want to be in this.
Look, I'm probably going to disagree with you a little bit when it comes to lack of interest from local investors. There are sophisticated, you know, entrepreneurs in Uzbekistan who understand how capital markets should be functioning.
But do they want to invest in Uzbekistan?
Absolutely.
They want
to invest. You know, the people in Uzbekistan very linked to their home country. Okay. Yes, they might have an interest in repatriating, you know, taking capital out of the country, related to trust, which you mentioned before. But the government is doing a massive job now, trying to bring trust back into the government, and it will take a lot of effort. It will start working when there will be cases and tested cases of dispute resolution going in favor of justice, going in favor of protection of minority interests. And we as a regulator, our main job is to protect investor rights. So we have daily cases of investor complaints that are coming our way, and we try to find justice and enforce the resolutions in favor of those whose rights have been, let's say, diminished.
Violated or diminished,
so,
right?
Again, raising the credibility of the regulator is important to show the investor community that there is kind of independent watchdog looking after the rights, and they can use the legal system, legal infrastructure in Uzbekistan to utilize the investor protection rights.
Mm-hmm. And you were in conversation with them, and they like what you're doing.
Well, I don't know if they like what you're doing, but
they're talking to you.
We helped, you know, just for information, over the course of the first 3 months of our job, to kind of reclaim almost 100 billion soms for the minority investors, the dividends that they've been trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody was there to, you know, to collect those dividends. So we, in our new capacity as a market watchdog, have the authority to go after these companies and help the minority interest to obtain the dividends. This is one of the small examples. And on top of that, we also regulate our intermediaries, the broker-dealers. So we need to create conditions for them to grow and bring in capital to the market, which means facilitating investments and allowing private companies to issue securities like bonds, equities, and allow for wider ownership of companies. But again, the mentality shift needs to happen. And I'm afraid it might take, you know, 5, 6 or more years until we raise the new generation of, you know, the investor community, entrepreneurs community, who will understand the concept of, you know, the corporate governance, being fair with your partners, you know, doing proper disclosure of your accounts. But as a regulator, our job is to kind of enforce everything through laws. So, for example, one thing that happened in March is we ensured that we put a requirement that independent board members are elected for listed companies. Yeah, that's one. Second change that was introduced, that minority shareholder have the first right of refusal on new capital injection. That's also a very important point. What we also try to reduce now is the dividend collection, to use our centralized depository system for dividends to be paid through that system. Right now, what needs to happen, each shareholder needs to have his record updated with his banking account information on records of the company before they receive the dividends. But with people constantly moving and changing information, that's difficult to maintain. So these are kind of small things that we need to collectively review and introduce in law amendments.
And it's a learning experience for everyone, right? It's a journey.
So.
It's a journey taken together. We know that you started this trip with New York. You were at the Columbia University.
Yes.
And then you came to Washington.
Yes.
You met with the World Bank. And then the
IMF.
The IMF. And then the...
Treasury.
Were at the, at the Department of the Treasury. And then with the
Department
Securities Exchange. Yes. So Department of State. You have been holding talks with the business sector, with the academic sector, and also with the officials here in Washington. How can the U.S. help? How can Columbia University help, for example? What are you asking them?
With the Columbia University, we have a mutual interest in engagement. Columbia University scholars constantly looking for new markets where they can conduct research, where they can conduct studies in seeing how transformation taking place. There aren't too many countries around the world this moment that going through a similar transition that Uzbekistan is embedded on. I'm serious, you know, look around the world, there aren't too many. So Columbia University clearly interested in becoming a part of this, maybe with research exercise. In turn, what we're asking them for our benefit is ability to help us introduce kind of more developed programs on continuing education and finance. Because Columbia University is located in New York City, they're very close to the financial hub, and a lot of expertise in financial markets stored at Columbia University. Okay, so this is why we're very excited to partner.
So it's a great academic asset for you.
It's the best academic institution we could have dreamed for in terms of, you know, building cooperation. So it's a start. You know, it's an engagement we're doing with the SIPA School, School of International Public Affairs, and they are excited to come to Tashkent and start with seminars and training programs for our government officials, for our employees, in learning more about public finance management, for example, you know, accountability, the budgeting exercises, and things like that, and even corporate governance procedures. So I'm hoping to utilize Columbia's expertise and bring that to Uzbekistan through these training programs initially. Our midterm goal is to see if we can get Columbia interested in opening up the center in Tashkent.
Mm.
There isn't one that exists in Central Asia, but given...
So it would be a research center.
It would be a research center, and also maybe an academic center.
Campus.
A campus, or a small, you know, center for one of their schools, for example. Mm-hmm. And obviously my long-term dream is to have a full-fledged campus of, you know, Columbia University in Uzbekistan. But fingers crossed, it'll take time.
And the government.
The government.
So obviously technical assistance, right?
Not just that. U.S. government is always interested in building right partnerships in order to kind of share the experience and facilitating sustainable economic growth around the globe and to ensure inclusive economic growth. Because, you know, there are a lot of problems that we're facing as a global economy at the moment with, you know, the environment problems, women rights, the inclusiveness of, you know, the youth unemployment. These are massive problems. And I think United States government, given that is the biggest economy in the world, the probably one of the most efficient economies in the world, right? The patents that they produce every year. And the government of this country is well positioned to try to export this knowledge around the world. And every government agency that we've been meeting have been so anxious to share the experience with us for the mutual benefit, right? If we can import to Uzbekistan the best kind of proven international experience in how we manage capital markets, how we manage state SOEs, how we allow for more inclusive economic growth. It's very important, you know. We have problems with employment you know, the unemployment rate is very high.
Of course.
We have close to 500,000 children graduating from high school every year, unable to obtain higher education. So they're out there in the labor force trying to make a, find a way to make a living, right? And we can, through capital market, we can find a way to tackle some of these problems by investing, let's say, in awareness of public finance, private finance principles, kind of increasing financial literacy, helping children how to, let's say, write a business plan. What does it take to open up a company? How can they open up a bank account? You know, instead of them having a mentality of, you know, an employee, we want to build a mentality of the entrepreneur in these children. You see, all government needs to do is create an environment for businesses and for activities to grow. We don't need to be investing in factories and trying to build jobs. It's not government's job. Government's job is to reduce the involvement, not to interfere, be fair, justice system for these people, and but it will take a lot of investments.
Create
so
conditions.
The U.S. government is very excited about these prospects, and they've been very supportive in our initiatives. We're discussing various ways. The problem we have is the processing capacity of all these initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much everybody wants to do, but we don't have enough people, we don't have enough talent to be involved in all these processes simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to prioritize.
Yeah. And we see the U.S. side also adjusting to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they feel like they can't push. You know, they're going to work with the kind of,
yeah,
with the level that you have.
Right.
You
but
know?
I'll tell you, look, I don't have that problem. I think the problem I have now is that I feel that our partners are slower than we are. You know, we want more. And my team at the agency is young, they're anxious, they have huge interest. And we need to find a way how we increase our capacity too, to deal with all these reform
mm-hmm.
programs and
how
plans.
Many people do you have working for you now?
We have about 100 people in the agency around the across the country. We have 13 offices in every major city representing us, about 50 people in the head office, and most of them are young. Most of these people never had any experience working for a regulator, you know, let alone in regulator in Uzbekistan. But we bring a lot of people from private sector, determined to work, determined to learn. So we sit with every one of them, draft the job description together, and off they go, you know, trying to find...
As I said, exciting journey together.
It is exciting yes. journey.
Thank you so much for talking to
you
us.
You are welcome, Nabahar. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.